Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algy, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy. Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast, episode 9. This week we're going to discuss the hair metal albums that did not make the Rolling Stone top 50 that Bill, Dennis, and I thought should have. Having said that, Bill, take over.
So this episode, we're going to call it the Oh Hell Yeah episode, as opposed to the WTF episode as from before. Because these are the albums that didn't make the list that should have been on the list. I think we'll agree on some and probably not agree on some of the other ones, but that's just the way it goes, right? It's our show. If you don't like it, tough. Anyway, so we're going to come up and do what we usually do. So we're going to do a little rock news. So big news just happened probably within the last hour and a half, 2 hours maybe, is that Lemmy has passed away from Motorhead, which is I don't know if you've seen any pictures of him recently. He looks pretty bad. He's got, I think he had liver disease and a bunch of other stuff, and just one sick dude. So sad to hear it. He was a great great rock star, great guy from things I've read, stuff like that. And but you know, he was in bad shape, so probably better off that way, unfortunately. But left a legacy for sure. And from a band that was known at one point in time as the loudest band in the world, I think they'll leave a legacy that just goes on and on. So that's pretty cool. Hopefully they'll get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They should be there. So don't know why they're not there yet, but that's a whole different story. Anyway, so Dennis, I know this will shock all of you. It shocked me. Dennis has a story about seeing Lemmy with, yes. Well, I'll let him tell you with who.
Dennis. All right. All right, we was able to – actually, I was really lucky to see Lemmy. It's been about 5 years ago. They opened up for the Foo Fighters, of course.
Oh, God.
In Memphis. It was a really good show, though. Lemmy was – you know, he'd been 65 at that time probably. Sounded really great. They were on. I mean, if you know their songs, they're just really high-speed, three-chord into another high-speed three-chord song. But it was really cool. Plus, they brought him back out during the show, Foo Fighters show, because Dave had worked on a project called Probot with a bunch of metal stars back years ago, and Lemmy did do a song on that album with him, and they did that song that night. It was kind of cool. Brought him back out and did that because that was one of Dave's heroes too. So it was kind of cool. You know, I'm sure he was really excited that night as much as everybody else was to see him, because that was his hero. And but yeah, like I said, we did get to see him. Like I said, I did see it's been recently. He's had to cancel a lot of shows. I know they were at higher altitude, and he was having a lot of trouble breathing. And I saw a video the other day where I think he got through the first song or maybe two songs, and midway through the song, he had to walk off stage. He did come back out and apologize, but he was using a cane at the time. He was real pale. I mean, the man's just been, not in good shape for a while. There is a really good documentary called Lemmy. I think it was on HBO or something like that. I saw it, or maybe on Netflix. I'm not for sure. But if you ever get a chance to see it, see it. It's a really good show. I mean, he lives in this apartment out in L.A. I mean, he doesn't have a big mansion. I mean, Lemmy just lived in his apartment with his son. Lived basically like we did. They said he lived down at the Troubadour? Or one of those bars down there. They said basically he has a stool and he sit down there all day long and he played this video machine. And people walked up to him all day. Are you Lemmy? Oh, yeah, I talked to him. And basically, he'd sit down there and smoke Marlboro Reds and drink whiskey all day, every day, until he went on tour. And he'd pack his bag and he'd go on tour. You know, it's a really interesting documentary if you get to see it. And like I said, it's just sad to see him go. But anyway,
cool.
That's my.
Well, it's definitely unfortunate, but I think he's a much better off fella. Mm. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Alan, you got any news or anything? Anything you've run across this week?
The rumor mill for the Guns N' Roses reunion is it's no longer an Appetite for Destruction reunion, but it is supposedly Axl, Slash, Duff, and three or four other guys.
Oh, darn! You
know, I wasn't surprised that Steven Adler was not going to be let on board with it. Yeah. I was really kind of hoping to see Izzy there.
Right.
But apparently Izzy either was not invited or declined to participate.
Sure.
So the tickets are probably going to be too expensive. I've already seen Axel and Roses, I guess, at Rocklahoma the last time I went. So unless the tickets are really reasonably priced, I'm probably going to miss out on that tour, because as much as I would like to see it, I think it's just going to be way too much money for what you're going to get.
Right. So. I would like to see it, though. I would just to go. I think if you're going to go see it, you better go see it very early.
Yeah.
Because I don't care how much making up there is.
Yeah,
we talked about this in an earlier episode. You know Axel's going to pull this bullshit where he's going to be late and waiting and whatever. You know, it's not going to take long for it to implode. You know, it'll happen quickly, I think. That's my
opinion. Yeah, either that or he's gotten really smart over the last 10, 15 years and realizes that doesn't get you a fan base. It drives them away.
Oh, no, exactly. So,
You just never know. I did try to actually, interesting thing, AC/DC tickets for the U.S. tour went on sale, I think probably after we recorded the last show a couple weeks ago, maybe just right before that, and I tried to get some tickets for my son for Christmas, and no chance. They were gone within minutes. I tried for Chicago. I tried for St. Louis. I looked at. They're not coming to Nashville. I tried to Columbus, Ohio, and they're all gone.
You know, I was really surprised that they didn't have more dates in the Midwest like that. Because I mean, you know, they could fill any place they go. They're going to sell out.
Well, they could do two nights. I mean, you know, just do two nights in Chicago. I mean,
exactly. Yeah, I don't know.
That's fine. So. It's not going to work.
I think they have more money than they'll ever need, so they don't care how many.
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
They do. They don't need to do a long tour.
Yeah, right. It doesn't matter. So anyway, that didn't work. Did hear that this summer, I think Poison's going out on a 30th anniversary tour, possibly with some dates if Ricky Rocket gets his cancer taken care of that he's got. But you know, we'll.
Let's see if that happens.
If that happens, I'm going to that for sure, because they're great. You know, if you like them or don't like them, I don't really know. But they're a great party band, and they get the crowd rolling. And you know, like Bret Michaels or not, he's a great front man, and he gets it going. So
I think what you're going to get.
Know what you're going to get. You know, and I think it'll be fun. And
One that we need to all get together and find one close, get tickets, and do another Taco Bell.
Yeah. Oh my God! Please, let's hurry up and do something stupid when we go somewhere, so we can let the Taco Bell thing go.
Yeah, okay, we'll do something even better next time, trust me.
There you go. I did watch a documentary this past week. It was really, really, really good. It was called Iron Maiden Behind the Beast, and it was filmed, I think, in 2011 is what I think it was filmed. Maybe in 12, I can't remember. But it was a great documentary, and it was all from the tour they did. They did Around the World in 80 Days kind of thing. And they took everything, the stage and everything, on a 747 that Bruce Dickinson flew the plane. He was the pilot as well. And they went around the world. They went to all kinds of different places. They went to the rainforest where nobody had played ever and did a show. And they did some crazy stuff. And it was really cool seeing how they managed the whole thing, because the plane could only take so much weight. And they would have to – how they had to manage that weight and – downsized the show, and they had to cut stuff out of the some of the setup and some shows they did certain places they can only take certain things to because they couldn't get it through customs, and it was really kind of cool. But it was all behind the scenes stuff. I like that stuff. That to me is cool, rather than just going and seeing them live. That behind the scenes thing's pretty cool. A dream I have is just going to a venue early and watching them set the stage up and seeing that whole thing kind of come to life. You watch those time lapse videos. You guys ever seen those where they show them setting up bands? Yep. I always think that's kind of cool. It'd be neat to see those. But the interesting thing is they would take that stage down and get it loaded on the plane in an hour and 20 minutes after the show. And it was a big stage. It was a pretty significant stage. It was crazy. I mean, those guys worked like clockwork. The other interesting thing was going to all those foreign countries. They had this huge language barrier when they hired the people to help set up the stage and stuff like that. They had to work through that. It was really kind of cool. So I don't want to spend a bunch of time about that, but I thought it was really
cool. You told me about that. Remember we had a discussion about it's that 666 flight. Yeah. Whatever.
I saw that one.
Well, I did find it. What you're talking about. I did find it is on Netflix. the whole show is at, or not Netflix, but on YouTube. Actually, if you go on there, the whole show's on there, but it's subtitled. So it's in English, but it's got a French subtitle or a Spanish subtitle. But the whole show is on there. From what I watched about the first 5-10 minutes of it, and from what I can tell, it is a documentary about the 666 tour that there's a DVD about. So we were kind of both right, because when you were talking about that, I was like, well, that's that tour of that 666 thing. But what it is, it's the making of that tour is what that documentary
is. Yeah,
it's
cool.
Which, when I get a chance, I'm off all week, so I'm going to sit down actually one day this week and I'm going to watch that, because it does look really cool. I just looked it up to see if I could find it, because I don't have that access or whatever you said it was on.
Yeah, that's what I saw. Netflix, I like that channel. It's cool.
But yeah, it looks really cool. Hey, and Bill, I tell you what, your dream can come true. Come down New Year's Eve night, and you can set me up.
I knew you were going on there. I do not. I tell you what, I'm not going to be your roadie.
It sucks. I did it 24 times last year, set up and tear downs, and it sucks ass.
No, I'm not doing it. I'm not going
to
be your roadie.
And you know, we can be from stage to truck on the road in 45 minutes.
Taking it down is much easier than putting it up. For sure.
It's about an hour. Who cares? 10 minutes to basically just set it up, and it's 45 minutes to tear. I can be from stage to road in 45 minutes.
There you go.
Yeah. So anyway, so if you ever want to live the dream, Bill, just give me a call.
I was thinking of a little bit bigger venue than.
Okay. It's Ron's place, so you got to remember.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Ron, didn't want to offend you.
Figured I, you know, make a wish kind of thing. I was going to help you out. You know.
What?
It's all okay.
All right. So today we're going to talk about, like I said earlier, we're going to talk about our albums that did not make the top 50. We've already kind of went through the ones that we thought were horrible, garbage, trash, junk, shouldn't be on there. Kind of thing. So we made a list of the ones that we kind of went, how did these not end up on there? So this is the, we're going to save you episode, hopefully. So what we're going to do is read through a list, and we'll read through a couple of groups, and we'll kind of discuss them and whether we think they should be on the list or shouldn't be on the list. So I'm sure we have not, like we always do. This is the kind of stuff that's kind of cool that we don't share our lists or our desert albums or any of that stuff before the show, so that we get reaction that's real. So we'll see what happens, because there's probably some people going, what? So we'll see what happens. Anybody want to start, or do you want me just to read one off? And what do you want to do?
Go for it, Bill.
Go ahead and read one off.
So the first one I have on here, and this is one I wasn't sure really where it fit, was Triumph. A band that I thought had some great music, really liked them, and they came out in like 81. So they were a little early, probably more of that rock thing, but they had the synthesizer thing going on big time. And
what album are you picking, though?
Allied Forces.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, great album. A lot of great stuff on there. And just really thought that should have been on there. I thought that was a great album. But like I said, it might have been a little bit too early. But then some of the bands that they picked were like, the Bullet Boys album was like from 1993 or something, way after, so I didn't get that piece, but that was on my... Now, I did see Triumph. I saw them, and it was a show that was memorable for a lot of reasons that you can't really share here, but I did see that show too. They were pretty good.
All right, we lost him.
There he is.
He's back. Okay, we're good.
Okay, the last thing we heard was they were pretty good.
Right. You kind of froze up and lost them.
Yeah, it was funny because you guys froze up. I looked fine.
No. Okay. Was that the one at the stadium with Yngwie Malmsteen?
Yeah.
That you saw? Yeah, I seen that. That was the first time I ever seen lasers. Remember they had
the horses running on the thing.
Yeah. Yeah, Team Bay was horrible, but yeah, Triumph was a really good. That was a great album. That's it. Now I think it fits to the genre. We talked about this a little bit before. You know, the bands that we're picking. My kind of idea was they were during that hair metal time, and they did have airplay on MTV. That's how I kind of drew it. If you were an actual hair metal, because I'm like you. Some of the bands they picked in the original 50, I don't even know consider them really hair metal, but that's what they said, so that's kind of what I went by also. But anyway, there you go.
Any input, Alan?
For Triumph, no.
Yeah.
should they be on the list? Not be on the list? Don't care? Don't really know them? Don't anything?
Well, nothing? I think if you put Triumph on the list, you have to put Rush on the list because.
Yeah, okay. You know, okay.
Those bands to me are really similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. So, and that's why I said they were kind of like maybe on the list, not really sure. So
right.
That's cool. All right, cool. So we'll just kind of go down my list and we'll fill in. How's that? Does that sound cool?
That works for me.
Sure, that's fine.
So the next band that I came up with was Night Ranger, 1983's Midnight Madness. Great, you know, a band that, gosh, how can you not include them in? I mean, that was hair metal stuff. I mean, it was rock, but it was definitely hair metal. It was all right in that same thing. They were
on MTV.
They were on MTV every other day, and I liked them a lot. I still like them. So I'd go
that
see
album
them
too. Sure. I'd go see them. If you look at it, Night Ranger, I mean, that album itself had, you know,
four Rock or five America, songs.
It had Rumors. It had Close Your Eyes, Chipping Away, and of course Sister Christian. I mean, there's five songs there that were huge. I mean, Sister Christian was a huge song.
So five more than the girls that were the Plasma Girls or whatever they were called, the Hoochie Mama Hair Metal Hoochies or whatever they were called. I don't know.
No, Night Ranger, that was the first album that I wrote down on my list.
He just acts like he can't remember Precious Metal.
I couldn't.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. No, I'm not acting like it. I burned that from my brain.
Oh, my gosh.
For sure.
But yeah, Night Ranger, they should have definitely been on the list. I mean, they had the hair. They had the videos. You know, they were. And they had the hits. I mean, those guys.
They had two guys in that band that went on to play in, good Lord, a bunch of other bands.
Right.
So, I mean, for sure.
Well, if Sister Christian is not in your top five power ballads, then you need to reevaluate your opinion of a power ballad.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
For sure.
That is a fantastic song.
Yeah. Yep.
But I agree, Night Ranger should be on the list.
Oh, we got a check mark by that one. Check.
Got it.
Alan's heard of them. That's good.
I have never seen them. I like to have.
I saw them.
I've seen them a couple times.
Well, actually, I saw a terrible rendition or iteration of that band in Colorado Springs back in the early days of my marriage, which almost ended my marriage. But we lasted like three songs and we had to leave.
Wow.
But I saw them in Indianapolis at Verizon Amphitheater two or three summers ago.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It was Night Ranger and Foreigner and Journey, I believe it was. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was the original guys back together in Night Ranger, right?
Yeah. One of the guitar players was different, but
Jeff Watson didn't play with him anymore. I know Brad. Is it Brad that's back with him or that Watson guy?
It's Brad one of Gillis. The other. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I always like those guys.
Yeah, I like those guys. All right. Autograph.
Yes.
That was a band I thought should have been in there. Sign In Please was their debut album in 1984. That was the album I thought that had turned up the radio. It was a phenomenal song that just got a ton of airplay. They had a couple other songs on that album that were pretty good, but they were the epitome of hair metal as well.
Oh.
And again, you know, take other stuff off that list and they belong on there. So
yeah.
Now, one thing about that Turn Up the Radio video that always cracked me up is the guy carried around that little bitty radio.
Yeah.
That thing cannot get that loud, dude.
Turn it up.
The interesting thing is now if you carry around something like that, it could blow your head off.
Technology's come
pretty far.
I saw Autograph open up for, it was Autograph, darn it.
That was a triple bill show.
Crocus and Sammy Hagar. And I didn't even want to go see Sammy. I wasn't a big Sammy fan. My wife and her friend were, my girlfriend at the time. And And it ended up, it was a great show. That was the Red Rocker show where he had the car on stage, you know, and he had to wear the red jumpsuit and all that stuff. But no, Autograph was really good live, actually. That's when that song was, that had just hit, and they, you know, it was real current at the time, and good live band.
Yeah, I saw him open for somebody, but I don't remember who it was. It wasn't Sammy Hagar. I never saw him except for with Van Halen.
Right.
And I try to forget that happened.
Yeah, I would too.
Not that, I mean, it just, they were, one was drunk and he was, I don't know, weird. All right, Damn Yankees. Came out late in the hair band thing. In the 1990 was when their album came out. But again, a couple of pretty good singles off that album. High Enough was a song that just raced up the charts.
That whole album is phenomenal.
Yeah, I think it's a great album. You know, Tommy Shaw, Jack Blades, Ted Nugent, front three is pretty good. And I don't know who the drummer was. I tried to figure that out, and I couldn't figure it out.
I know.
Was it a name as well, a big name guy?
No, he was not a big name.
Okay.
I saw him drum for Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Oh, did he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't really.
He's kind of like Kenny Aronoff. He's played in a bunch of different bands, but.
No, but nobody famous. I mean, no, not a big name.
Well,
but.
I think Damn Yankees was pretty famous.
No, you know what I'm saying, though. He wasn't a name coming in because, you know, the Yankees is basically a super band kind of put together situation.
Yeah, I'm just being a jackwagon.
But yeah, I mean, you got Tommy Shaw.
I liked them a lot.
Yeah.
So I thought they were really good, but I think they just came too late to the game. They got, you know, it was just a little too late.
Well, their second album was really good too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I got them both.
And to continue from there too, if you like kind of acoustic type shit, Shaw Blades.
That was awesome, man.
Oh my God, they got one of cover tunes, and they do a Yes. Cover that is just phenomenal. I mean, it's
wow.
If you've never heard it, Bill, check it out.
I think I've heard a little bit of it, but I'll try.
Those
to
two
find
together, their voices fit perfect together. I mean, they would do a bunch of cover tunes, and they do like California Dreamin'. Yeah, yeah, Summer Breeze.
California Dreamin' is really good.
It's very good. So yeah, check that out. Get a chance. Right. It's awesome.
I'll check it out.
All right, awesome.
That's good. That sounds like some good stuff. All right, I had I know Dokken already had one in there, but I had Tooth and Nail in there. I just think
love that
in the hair metal stages. You know, George Lynch and that whole band had just some tremendous players. And you know, I'm a Dokken fan, but still, I think that was an album that was really, really good.
Yes.
You know, if you're gonna have two Warrant albums, I don't know how you don't have. Except for that, you know, the thing I never understood about Dokken is they never just hit it big.
No,
you know, they were a great opening band. I don't know if they could have carried an arena. I doubt it.
I don't think they could. They could have double billed with somebody, maybe.
Double billed. I just don't think they had. I just don't think Don Dokken had that presence to carry a 13,000 seat arena. I just don't think he had it. No. But I love those guys live, and I love that album. So. Yeah, that's that was good too. And I know that's Dennis's favorite album, so I included that.
There's just some bands like that, Bill, that are just absolutely they've never been. I mean, they've always been a, you know, kind of always a bridesmaid, never a bride. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We talked
about that. Yeah,
and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, they just never got to the point where they can sustain. Like you said, they can't sustain a whole show themselves, but they can open one and just tear it up. You know? I mean,
yeah, like Great White. We talked about that with Great White.
Yeah.
You know, just. A great band just never got over the hump. Never got that, you know, had some great singles, did really, really well, sold a bunch of albums.
They get hits and everything, and why don't they
just couldn't get going. And, you know, that's the way it works. Yeah. All right. Next up on my list was Europe, Final Countdown. Whether you like them or not, not a big Europe fan, but
burritos.
Seriously? I mean, that's a huge, Final Countdown is a huge song. It's huge. That song alone is bigger than five albums they put on that damn list. That's awesome. And I know it's not really about record sales, but that's the – I mean, Europe was the epitome of hair metal, really. I mean,
it is. I mean,
I didn't get it. I'm not a big Europe fan. I wasn't then. I'm not really now. Reb Beach is a great guitar player. Right. I went to see Dokken one time thinking it was going to be – it was when George Lynch had come back to the band, and it was back in the 90s, and I thought, for sure, here we go, and maybe in 2000s, and walked into the stadium, and or not stadium, it was a theater, it wasn't a stadium. It was the Vogue in Indianapolis, actually. And guy came out and he was talking. I heard him talking about that George didn't make the trip out. And I'm like, what? What do you mean George didn't make the trip out? He said, yeah, you know, it's they've done about 10 shows and him and Don have about had it. And I'm like, well, there. So I was like, so my buddy that went was a huge George Lentz fan. And I'm like, okay, we're leaving because he's not going to stick around. And he said, no, we got a great guitar player at subbing for him. It's Red Beach from Europe. And I was like, oh, Europe, really? Come on. And then he just tore it up. If you closed your eyes, you had no idea it was not George Lynch. He did a great job. Phenomenal guitar player.
They opened up out of their mester and with Reb at time, and that's when that Mattis Hatter came out. It just broke out, that song. Remember that? The Mattis Hatter? It's a really good Dawkins song. But anyway, Reb tore it up. I mean, he's good. He's not George Lynch, but he's good.
Yeah, he's not George Lynch.
No.
Speaking of George Lynch, I actually listened to and downloaded a Christmas song that George Lynch played just the guitar on.
Really?
Yeah. It was on that covers thing I was telling you guys about.
I still haven't listened to that.
That's kind of neat. So next album I have up is 1990 Firehouse.
Yes.
You know, some people like them, some people don't. But, I mean, I listened to some of that when I was Shake and Tumble. That's a rock. That song rocks. Mm-hmm. And Love of a Lifetime. You know, how many people had Love of a Lifetime in their wedding in the 90s, early 90s? Like everybody I know of. I just don't get it why they aren't on there. Any input?
Absolutely. Good song.
Yeah. He's looking lukewarm.
No, it deserves to be there. I wasn't ever a big Firehouse fan, but like you said, everybody's heard that song, you know. To me, they were just another cookie cutter band. I mean, I don't think really anything to me stood out. Just wasn't a big fan. I think by that time, and they were one of the late ones too that came in toward the end of it. And I think by the time Firehouse came out, I was kind of getting burnt on the hair metal stuff. It was just getting, you know,
it all sounded the same.
That's what I said. They were a cookie cutter band to me. Yeah.
So that's, you probably feel the same way about Trickster, right?
Yeah, honestly. Because actually, I was going to put that on my list. That was one of the bands that came up. I'm like, I ain't going to mess with it.
But, well, I got a couple other ones. You guys going to go, yeah, this is the same band as the other band you're saying.
But I think what happened was, toward the end of that run, you know, everybody knew the formula of how to get famous. You know, we got to grow our hair long, we got to have some catchy hooks, and we got to jump around and look crazy, and you know, and that's what everybody did. I mean, it was everybody, you know. Just like when the boy band started, you know, everybody had to be in the boy band. You know, it's just the same
thousands thing. Of them.
Yeah. So.
All right, Alan. I have GNR on my list.
I do too.
So, which I can't figure out how that didn't make the list, but maybe they didn't consider them hair metal. But they
Slash's hair. How could
but
you
put,
not?
But they put Kiss on that list.
On an
album. That's the reason I put them on. And I put a couple other bands on there too for that reason. Because
I did too. Same reason.
There's some bands on there that I don't think were hair metal bands, but they put them on the list. And I was I scratched my head, so I'm trying to figure that out. But welcome to the jungle.
To not add GNR to that. To not even add that. That's just stupid. Unless they've just added them on every other list and they figured they're going to give them a break. That's the only thing I could think of. But, I mean, they were the epitome. I mean, hell, when Axl first came out, that first video, man, he had his hair all teased up. That's why when I seen him actually playing live, I was like, well, where's this dude with the great big Von Fro?
That
was the only time he ever did that. Other times, you know, he had it
greased down after that. It looks horrible. Yeah.
I liked it. I thought, I was like, the first time I seen it, I was like, going, that's pretty cool looking. You know, there's this freaky blonde hair, dude.
That takes effort,
12,
though.
12 cans of Aquanet on his hair compared to.
Yeah, I mean, that's
sounds lard.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that song, I mean, that album should be on the list. There's no reason it shouldn't.
I mean, lots of hits on that album. Stood the test of time. Over 90% of the crap that's on that list. So, I mean,
I agree.
And we've already talked about it. You know, they're going to sell a crap load of tickets to a show that we'll see what happens. But, you know, if it goes well, it's just going to make them more money than they've had ever. It'll make them more money than they got back in the 80s. I can tell you that.
Oh, absolutely.
The ticket prices are a hell of a lot more.
Hand over fist.
It'll be ridiculous. So, All right, band that I have on here that it's kind of one of those. I think it's cookie cutter band too, but you know they were around a lot. Was Crocus? You mentioned them a little bit earlier.
All right. Yeah, I've got them.
Ballroom Blitz, Midnight Maniac. Actually, I listened to Midnight Maniac the other day when I was kind of going through my list and stuff like that. And then so I'm in the shower the other day, and I get out of the shower, and I'm like, Midnight Maniac. Okay, this is weird. But yeah, some good catchy tunes, and but again, kind of one of those bands that, you know, they were a great opening band. They opened up for everybody and his brother, and but never really hadn't. I mean that band was not going to be a band, but they put out a crap load of albums. If you go look at their catalog, there's exactly a crap load of albums.
Well,
I had no idea. I thought they had two. No, they didn't. They've got like
Crocus. Crocus, and that's where I get to the problem with Crocus. I mean, Crocus was actually third on my list, the third one I picked up, because there again, they hit MTV hard. I mean, I seen them live. They're really good live. My favorite of their albums was called Headhunter, and it had Screaming in the Night and Eat Rich.
That's the one I was going to mention.
But, you know, I went in there going, they had, like you said, they had some hits, but their hits are spread through their album. Yeah. Yep. So there's not one. They don't have have an Appetite for Destruction or this or like a Midnight Madness. Their records. So I basically pick Headhunter because I do like Screaming. Screaming was one of my favorite. Actually, I was playing it on guitar whenever we first dialed up a while ago. I had it out. I was playing along with it. I love that tune, and it was on MTV. That video has been shown a gajillion times on there. And then, as I say, they had Eat the Rich was on there. But there, like I said, there was other songs that they did that were really good. But they're so spread out. You have to get almost to their live albums, you know, because Long Stick Goes Boom. That's a great song. I mean, that's just, you know, they were not, I mean, they were, you know, the American, are they American or, I guess they were, weren't they?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, they're like America's version of AC/DC, kind of. That's what I always thought of them, because the guy had that kind of gravelly voice. They have that, a lot of three chord type songs. So, yeah, I do. I love Crocus. So you said, Alan, that was the same one you picked too, was Headhunter? Yeah.
Well, they can't be the American version. They're from Sweden.
They're either
from Sweden or Switzerland.
Okay, I wasn't sure, but I did see them live too. That was that same show that I seen with Sammy. It was really good. They're a great live band too. So, yep, thumbs up.
All right, so here's where you guys are going to think I'm string. Well, I'll go with one here. So
another band.
We already knew that.
So Y&T was another band I did wasn't on the list. I don't know if they belong on the list or not, but I liked them.
I got them too, actually.
I think I saw them open, literally, in one summer. I saw them on three different tours opening for three different bands. They were another band that was a really good opening band. And their Y&T live album is great. Oh. I mean, that is one of the best live albums. And Summertime Girls just – that's an awesome song. And it's a good video. It's a great video.
And I had a problem finding it. What album did Summertime Girls come off of?
It came off on Down for the Count.
Okay, because I picked YMT. That was one of my albums I picked out, but I picked out Mean Streak because I do like that. Mean Streak is a great song.
Yeah.
But I look through the service that I look at and listen to my songs, which is always going to be referred to. But, you know, Summertime Girls, they had it as a single on there. And the albums that I could find on there that were released for Y&T, none of those albums except for the live album was on there. So I couldn't find out exactly, because that's their biggest song.
Yeah, personally, it took me like some research to get it, but that's where it was. It was on Down for the Count. The other song that was on there, if you listen to it, is Your Mama Don't Dance, which is obviously a remake, but it's a really good remake. It's much better than the Poison remake.
I've never heard it.
Yeah. It's really good. I mean, the vocals in it are really, really good.
Well, Y&T to me was just like Crocus. They had hits, but they were spread out, you know, over albums. So, and then Y&T's been around forever. I mean, you know what Y&T stands for, don't you?
I knew it one time, but I've purged that.
Yesterday and today. That's what it actually stands for. But yeah, and no, they're a great group. I actually saw them in concert, and it's one of those ones that's been. They were a multi-bill at some point, but I don't remember what it was. But they were. But it's when Summertime Girls was out. Like I said, that song was everywhere.
Yeah, one summer I actually saw them three times, and one of those was I saw them on like a Thursday with somebody, and the following Friday with a different group. They switched tours within the midweek, within the week, and it was like, what?
Hello, Columbus again.
It was in Evansville. Oh, I just couldn't remember. Yeah, it was funny because they weren't the opening band on the bill for the second show. So when they came out, I was like, It was like real deja vu. It was like, because they did the exact same set. I mean, what are they going to do? You know, they did the same 5-6 songs. You know,
the name fits in Yesterday and Today.
But yeah, for that summer, saw them 3 times. It was crazy.
Wow, that's cool. But
good band.
And as you can tell, we are easily entertained.
Yeah,
I am. Pretty much. All right, so I got 2 more, and then we can switch.
Okay.
Alan, do you have anything about Y&T?
I agree. They should be on the list.
All right, cool. All right, so, these are the two that I really kind of not sure, okay? So don't you guys freak out on me. Loverboy.
You know, I almost put it on. Almost.
Huge band. The Get Lucky album with Working for the Weekend and Jump and, you know, the battle they had on there. Just
Hot Girls in Love. I mean, gosh.
There was some great stuff on there. That album and the one after it.
And you were at the stadium that time when it was the largest capacity crowd in Robert Stadium ever. Was you there that night with Loverboy?
Yeah.
Joan Jett and Loverboy?
Yeah.
There was 12,000 something plus people in that. You couldn't put another person in that place with a shoehorn. We were on the floor, dude. And it was like this. And you walk up to the bathrooms. You remember how the old Robert Stadium had those old wooden bleachers that would pull out, and then you had that walkway behind it? There, and they were like under the bleachers. I mean, they were throwing people in there so tight. It was crazy. But yeah, that show. And then that was actually the first time I did see lasers that weren't an actual image. He got up on stage at night, had his hands like that. He put those green lasers, looked like they come out of his fingers. And we're like, oh, holy shit, what is that? Yeah. That was, I was like you. I actually thought about putting it on my list, but I was kind of going, that's kind of a fine line, but
I wasn't really sure if they were, I don't think they were hair metal.
You know what? We're going to
put them. But I don't think they were pop.
They weren't pop. They were rock.
They weren't really pop. So
I would consider them pop metal.
True. Well, that's a whole different. Is that a whole different genre or not?
I mean, I kind of put Loverboy in the same category as Sammy, Foreigner, Journey, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I struggled a little bit.
But I'll give it to you. Because like I said, I thought the same thing. I just didn't go there, but I was close. I was on the edge, going, "Damn!"
So the last band I have is going to fit in the same category then, probably, which is Nelson. I don't think they belong on the list.
Did they have anything other than After the Rain? Didn't they have a ballad?
Oh, yeah. There's a ballad on that album, and I can't remember exactly what it is. I don't think I wrote it down. But that album's really pretty good. The melodies on it are really good. Huh?
I've got it on CD.
Yeah, I have it on CD. Actually, Noah listens to it. He likes it. He thinks it's pretty cool. They had the whole look going on, the long blonde hair. Yeah.
I mean, they had the... And they're Ricky Nelson's sons. I mean,
that to me was pop metal. I mean, I mean, that was more pop metal than
that was
hair metal, but more popish than Loverboy. So it was kind of, I don't know, but I don't think they belong. I don't know if they belong on the list, but that was a band that I thought deserved some notoriety somehow because they really were pretty good.
Right.
But I don't know.
Right.
So I kind of leave with that one. That's kind of a little bit of a I don't know.
I'll give you Loverboy. I can't quite jump on the Nelson train.
That's cool. I don't disagree with you. I just said I wrote it down. I was like,
Nelson. I kind of put Nelson and Hanson kind of in the same group. No, sorry.
No.
All right.
I told you guys about going to the store with Lisa when you were shopping for somebody. And I'm like, Lisa goes, "Hey, that's your band." I'm like, what? She goes, "Yeah, listen." I was like,
"Did you run out?
I got to go." All right, that's it for my list. I'm done.
Well, I've only got 2 to add to your list.
Why don't you go ahead and go for it?
Yeah. I already mentioned Trickster. You know, Dennis said that.
I'll give it to them. I'll give it to them. They did. They were there. I mean,
I saw them open for. It was Trickster and Great White and Kiss on the Revenge Tour.
Yeah.
You know, I saw them in Denver. I can't remember what their hit was.
Give It To Me Now. Is that Give It To Me Good? Was that them?
I don't know.
I have a buddy of mine that's a real big Trickster fan.
Yeah, I think it was called Give It To Me or Give It
To Me. Look it up. Get your phone down.
That's what she said.
Let me go to my service real quick while you're continuing, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Trickster was one of those bands like Firehouse. They kind of come in on the end of it after.
I think they were late to the game.
After the hair metal scene had made a mockery of it itself, you know.
You know, not to change the subject.
I don't think grunge killed hair metal. I think hair metal killed itself.
It was a suicide. Yeah.
Well, but you know, that happens with every genre, right?
Exactly.
You know, the reason you have change in music, the reason disco died wasn't because of, you know, hair metal. Disco died because people were tired of that crap. Something else came along that then ignited the next fire. I mean,
right.
You know, that's just how it works.
Rock continues. It's just versions of rock. Real quick, did look it up. Give It to Me Good was their number one hit from Trickster. And then they also had that one called One in a Million.
That's the one.
Yeah, that was a ballad, wasn't it?
I believe so.
Yeah. But I do remember that. But Give It to Me Good was... Now, not to change that subject, though, was there a guy from Evansville that was in Trickster? Or am I got that wrong?
I would have no idea.
There was a guy who went from... that played around here quite a bit. Or was it Danger Danger?
Are you talking about
that was
Andy?
Another band that I looked up.
Not Andy Timmons. And I'm talking about Andy Timmons. Which he always, you know, the funny thing about Andy Timmons is his wife makes him claim that he's from Texas. He's from Evansville. But anyway, he says he's from Texas. It's not. I know better. But anyway, no, they, oh, damn it. I'll find out before the next show. But there was a guy who went in, and I think it was Danger Danger who he went with. They played, but remember the band Buster Brown?
Yeah.
They used to play, the guy from Buster Brown went to a bigger band, and I'm trying, and I think it was Danger Danger, but I'll do some research and I'll find out who that was.
Anyway. Okay, I lied. I said I had two. I actually have three.
All right, go ahead.
Did anybody mention Van Halen? Was the 1984 album?
I have it down. That was one of my edge ones, but you know what? There again, MTV during the hair metal, the videos they had out, they had hair. They were. I got it. 84. It's on there.
There you go.
I mean, I'm going to agree with you, Bill. You think so?
I don't know. I mean, I think
if they can still... put Kiss Lick It Up on that thing, you can put.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with that, but I still think they were a rock band. I wouldn't consider them a hair metal band. When I think about hair metal, I wouldn't consider Van Halen a hair metal band.
No,
I just wouldn't. I mean, I think they were a rock band. I just don't know if I'd consider them in that same thing with... But
that album had I'll Wait, which was...
I don't disagree with that one album.
Teacher, Jump.
The stuff that came before that was definitely not that.
No, not that.
That's why I don't know that it really is...
And the stuff afterwards wasn't either. It was just that 84 album had a little... They had the keyboards in it, you know what I'm saying?
I think
it's a fringe... You know, Alan was right bringing it up because I'm going to say it's a fringe of that... era.
Yeah,
it's hair metal, you know, but
it's more, if Guns N' Roses isn't on there,
right?
You know,
right?
I'd be okay with it on there.
That was my number four. Actually,
I just struggle with that whole thing about what is still rock or metal than considered. You know,
exactly.
Being when you look back, you know, so Slayer and all those bands were not hair metal. They were
no,
that was. Thrash garbage, if you ask me. That's my opinion. I couldn't stand any of that crap. Can't stand it today. So, but whatever. All right. So you got more, Dennis?
Alan?
Well, the only other one that I have left, and you said something about thrash, so that brings up Metallica, Megadeth. They had some hair metal hits, I guess.
I consider them crossover metal people. They're not really hair metal.
I would not consider them hair metal. No. I mean, I wouldn't consider them like a hair band all. Yeah. It was just different.
But anyway, my last pick was actually one of Dennis's all-time favorite albums, AC/DC's Back in Black.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to...
I don't think that's a rock album. I don't think that's a hair metal album.
Yeah. I mean...
They had hair.
Scorpions?
Well, hell yeah, they had hair. Who didn't have hair in the
80s? All right.
Me.
Even All Alan right. had hair in the 80s.
No, he didn't. Not much.
Anyway. All right. I got one, two.
Well, I've got AC/DC and then also Scorpions. Did anybody mention the Scorpions?
That's my first one I was going to mention.
Okay. Well, then I'll leave it at AC/DC and let you take over.
All right. Well, I had five that weren't mentioned. And the first one was the one that Al was going to mention. Love It First Sting. That was a huge. Yeah. How I missed that one, I don't know. Because, I mean, you had Rocky Like a Hurricane, Big City Nights, Bad Boys Running Wild, and Still Loving You. A huge ballad. I mean, they play that song on MTV.
I don't understand their criteria.
So, but there again, I was struggling. They're more of a rock. They're not metal. They're more of a rock band, but they're not. I don't think they're hair metal. So yeah, I'm like you. To just to get to that genre, you're a hair band person. What I see as a hair band, I don't see Scorpions in that thing. But they were at that time. Were right along getting their shit played the same. So and that
I mean
that
it was
huge. I mean it was huge.
MTV had a huge impact in their career.
Hmm.
I mean, but it had an impact in everybody's career, right? So it's just kind of.
And the Scorpions is another one of those bands, though. Too, their success has not been in the U.S. You know, they are like gods all over the world.
Yeah,
you know, but the U.S. they hit, but they never. But then again, they never toured here very much either. They come and hit the major cities and gone. You know,
how did that tour do that? They did this. Didn't they do some dates this summer?
I knew that they were going to, but I don't. They never come any place close to here.
Yeah, I don't know.
Kelly would love to see him. And
I was just curious. I wonder how that did. But when you think about so we've talked about Firehouse and those, but I don't see the Scorpions in that same.
No, there was one of those ones that kind of the GNR. I kind of struggle with it, and Loverboy. I don't know.
But I like Scorpions. I just don't know if they. I just don't know where they fit. I don't know if that's.
They weren't actually on the official list of hair metal bands. I looked up on the internet. That was they weren't on the list.
They weren't on there.
They were not. They were actually not on there. So
see, and that's so. But Whitesnake was on the list.
Whitesnake was on the list, definitely. So I don't know. I don't know where. Yeah, like I said, it's all a fringe thing. But it was a good that there was a good album. Blackout album was actually right before that. I like that album a lot better, but it's more of a rock band. I mean, that's a Blackout's a great song. So marking that one off. Next one I had, Rolling Stone, screw them. We're gonna throw Kiss in there, but we're not gonna use the one that they used. Asylum. If you're gonna call Kiss a hair metal band, Asylum was that record. Tears Are Falling. Up All Night or All Night and Who Wants to Be Lonely. Those are all songs that fit in that genre. And they had the multicolor clothes, they had the makeup, they had the hair. Gene looked like a gigantic ugly woman. it's not my proud moment either for Kiss.
That was when Paul owned the brand.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay because we all know that had that not happened, there would be no Kiss today.
That is absolutely correct.
So I thank Paul for having the guts to do it. But
boy, it was ugly.
Yeah, I like some songs off those albums, like that and Asylum. I mean that and Animalize and Crazy Nights. I like some select songs off that, but not a lot of songs.
I'm gone.
We can still hear you.
Oh, my video is gone completely from my screen.
Yeah.
Can you see me?
We can see your picture of you in your garage.
We can see an old picture of you.
I'm pulling it back. Hold on. There you go. I'm pulling it back up. Am I there?
You writing some notes there, me? Alan?
All right. So after the Kiss we're talking about here. Okay. I already did the Van Halen. I'm going to go this way. I'm locked up again. Anyway. All right.
Nope, you're not locked up.
Okay. All right, so anyway, my next one here is another one of those ones that's questionable, but I'm going to go with it, and it's Accepts Balls to the Wall.
Oh, man, I missed that.
I mean, if you're going to – I mean, that was hair. That was metal.
It was hairless hair metal.
They were on MTV. I mean, they were on MTV all the time, and Accept was actually on that list of hair metal bands. So, and I was like, oh, okay, great.
You can hear it.
Oh,
What's that? I couldn't hear you. What?
So you can hear that. You can hear that from the beginning of that video. The crunching sound from the.
And you know, like we've already talked about this. You know, we've seen them in concert. I seen them open for Kiss. You know, I couldn't run to the store fast enough the next day to buy that hairy cheeked looking guy's my album. It's kind of nasty, but anyway, that album's got just nonstop great tunes. Enough of that. We've talked about that record before. Alan, you like that one too?
Yes.
Consider it.
Okay. Alan's got something going on up there.
Well, Dennis's picture froze, and it looked like he was scratching his butt.
Oh no!
And it just stuck like that.
It just stuck like that.
That's okay. Laugh at my expense. What this show is all about? You know, comedy at my expense.
Pretty much. All right.
Bill looked like he was getting ready to throw up a while ago. He had his finger hit. Exactly. All right. Real quick, I got, two more. Fastway, self-titled album. That album was, I listened to that thing nonstop. They were in that kind of hair. I consider them hair metal. They had a lot of hair. Yeah.
Say what you will, buddy.
Oh, exactly. I mean, that shit was on MTV. It was good. They're another one of those bands that were, you know, they were going to be a bridesmaid and they were a bride. But they were one of those ones I seen them open for just about everybody. Great deal. Another one that was an opener for Kiss. Become a bigger band since then, but I consider them a hair metal band at that time when they first started was Queensryche.
Oh, yeah.
Queensryche, the Warning album. I know Bill's shrugging his face. Warning, we saw them open up for Kiss. That was the first time that Rodney ever seen them. That was for, I guess it was for Asylum, wasn't it?
Yeah, I remember seeing them.
And, you know, Jeff Tate comes out there, and he's got this big-ass mohawk going on, and he's got his leathers on, and he's singing, me and Rod have been listening to that album forever. You know, he's got a voice that just don't stop. You know, unfortunately, that band has got to the point, you know, it went to two bands, and, you know, I guess Jeff's a real prick, and spitting on people.
It's a Tate thing.
And it, yeah, his wife, I think his wife, you know, his wife was playing a Yoko kind of deal, and she was managing the band, I think, at the time, too. And yeah, it got real ugly. But anyway, Queensryche, that Warning album, if you've never heard it as their debut album, get that album. It's phenomenal. I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah, they're a band for me that a song is fine.
Right.
An album would make me shoot myself.
See, you know, I don't like their operation mind bullshit. You know,
it's just not my thing. It was, to me, it was, I don't know, I guess it was more theater rock than,
sure.
Than I don't know. I just never got it. I just didn't
think that's what Jeff Tate, you know,
he's very talented.
Well, and all the legalities that they had, all he wanted was Operation Mindcrime. You know, he's like, you can have everything else. I just want Operation Mindcrime because he's going to do basically what, you know, Phil Waters did. Basically, Roger Waters did. You know, I'm going to take the wall and I'm going to run with it. I'm going to release it every other 5 years. You know, a different version of it. I'm going to tour with it and I'm going to live. I'm going to make. And he's made a ton of money off one thing. So that's kind of what, you know, Jeff's done with Operation Mindcrime. I mean, he's made almost like an opera play out of it. You know, bullshit going on. Would I ever see it? No. I just seen him that one time, and I loved it. Because like I said, we had just discovered that album probably a month before they came to town, and we were already, you know, we'd just burned it up. So when they came, we were like, oh, my God, this is going to be great. And they were good. But like I said, once after that album came, my wife liked them a lot. And like I said, we had Operation Mindcrime. I never got into that. I don't, you know, I don't get it from that point.
Going back to what Bill said about I can hear one song, but the whole album, sure. You know, I don't like so much the screaming vocals all the time.
Right.
And he does that a lot, which brought me to think, oh, Judas Priest, they're not on the list. They should be on the list.
You know, and they mentioned that on that
You're wrong,
list of
Bill.
Thing.
You're wrong.
They said that basically they consider they consider Judas Priest a hair metal band. During Turbo, during that era,
I would agree with that,
and that's what they said. I agree with that too. But Turbo was a shitty album. I hated that album.
But that was hair metal. If you're going to call one album a hair metal album, that's it. Otherwise, no way. They're a rock band,
right? But that's why same with Kiss.
British
Kiss,
Steel.
You can call Asylum that, but you can't call Lick It Up a hair metal album. It's not a hair metal.
It's not a hair metal album.
No,
All right. So, hey, so there's a show for this week. There's our top, our additions to the top 50 hair metal albums, according to Rolling Stone. I think we would come up with a much better list than they did. If, at least I think three of us would think we came up with a much better list than they did.
Self-produced. And,
yeah, exactly. You know, again, you know, to end the show, just, you know, think about Lemmy's family. That's going to be crazy. And, you know, going through that, he's 70 years old and just passing away. So today. So till next time.
Also, it's the new year when we come back.
Oh, that's right.
This comes out New Year's Eve. So
this comes out New Year's Eve. So New Year. While you have your people over, make sure you share with them the Ages of Rock podcast video, because what else could you want to watch while you're waiting for the ball to drop? Does you guys have a ball you can drop?
Yeah, hold on a sec. Hold on.
Just enough. Okay. All right. So, hey, that's the show for this week. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.
All right.
Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.